Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. We sincerely appreciate you taking time out of your weekly schedule to join us here on this fall pre-Halloween weekend to join us today. So we thank you for being with us. We've got a good show for you today. Joining me in studio is our radio producer, Jonathan Field. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, we have a pretty good lineup today, don't we? We're going to kick off in about 8-10 minutes here with Linda Hauer, who's the founder of 121 Benefits. Linda was former managing principal with ED Valley Benefit Services, who she acquired and have turned into a new Midwest TPA, really addressing some of the emerging trends of benefits becoming more self-service and how they provide more hand-holding and a more personal service around benefits and a benefit expertise to help their clients stay in compliance. So we'll look forward to having Linda join us from Minneapolis this morning soon. Then following Linda will be Bill Haber, who is Senior Director of Business Development for PocketDoc. And PocketDoc is a pretty powerful API platform built to power the business of health. And today, Bill will discuss how PocketDoc's API powers in optimal transactions and how this relates to really ties into healthcare consumerism. He will also talk about how hospital systems, digital health companies, and system integrators, just to name a few, can utilize PocketDoc's platform to improve workflows, cut costs, and put power back in the hands of the patient. So sincerely look forward to Linda and Bill joining us in a little bit. We announced on a previous radio program our Superstar and Innovators, and we'll be taking that out to our entire community, IHC community, over the next couple of weeks. And just really wanted to go back and highlight, first of all, to thank all those who sent in their nominations for Superstars and Innovators. We can't make this happen without, you know, you telling us where these heroes are and where this innovation is taking place out there. So we thank you for that. We want to again congratulate all of our award winners. We have 20 top award winners. The top award, John Robbins Senior Memorial CEO Leadership Award, goes to Rob Butler, the CEO of Maestro Health. Rob's doing a great job up there with Maestro and his team. Our Public Policy Leadership Award goes to Jody Deedle, Chief Compliance Officer with WageWorks. Jody's done some great work in the industry around lobbying and policy work. Our five leading industry innovators do some really good things. Michael Levin with Vericreed around health decision support. Hal Ferguson, Doctor On Demand, what they're doing with telehealth and really enabling employers to empower their employees to access telehealth services. Dean Mason, CEO of Aclaris, now part of the Willis Towers Watson family, just great work around defined contribution and consumer directed healthcare administration. Alan Cohen, Chief Strategy Officer with Liaison. Alan and his team were he's also now part of the Willis Towers Watson family. But Alan was way ahead of the curve in identifying where private exchanges can provide a really effective model for employers, small, mid-sized, and large employers to embrace, to offer cost-effective choice to their employees. And Kara Trout, who's CEO and founder of Quantum Health up near my hometown in Columbus, Ohio, in Buckeye Country. And Kara does some great work around, and her team does great work around health management and care coordination. So really quality industry innovators will be recognized. And then our CEO Leadership Award, also to a key innovator, is Steve Auerbach, CEO of Allegis. Steve joined Allegis formerly is with United Healthcare, and he's done a great job of taking that company forward in the consumerism space around, you know, administration of account-based plans and offering some unique services. So we want to congratulate all of them on these awards. And then not to move away from, not to, to diminish key benefit buyers and influencers, because they're really the heroes in the trenches making it happen. Either some of those being recognized are Scott Ramsey, Vice President of Benefits of Prudential for the Most Innovative Benefit Plan Design and Implementation Award. Congratulations to Scott. Angela Fish, Director of Compensation Benefits with Schneider Electrics. Janet McNichol, HR Director with American Speech and Language Hearing Association. So we want to congratulate them. Rhonda Dickinson, Payroll Benefits Coordinator with Friendship Haven on Most Effective, you know, Private Exchange Implementation Award. So it's just some of those that we want to congratulate on Jonathan. What is really a nice group of award winners, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, for those of you listening out there, if you're a solution provider, a health plan, a TPA, and, you know, you like what you hear on the radio program, we'd like to know how to get your voice out. You know, we urge you to talk to us about opportunities around, you know, sponsoring a radio program. You can sponsor a show, you can sponsor a month where you'll be highlighted throughout, you know, the weekly series where we talk about your company and what you're doing, and you can be a guest on one of the segments. We can do a custom radio show for you where we can showcase, you know, yourself, you know, your brokers, you know, your employer, clients, and this becomes a very effective podcast for you to use too. So if you want to know more how to utilize Healthcare Consumerism Radio platform to get your message out, to get your voice out there and, you know, to the market, reach back to us. And you can actually contact me personally if you'd like at dfield@theihcc.com or call me at 404-783-9820. I'd love to talk with you and have my team talk with you about, you know, all the opportunities to utilizing our radio program format. You know, we have the industry's only certification program on healthcare consumerism. And while all of you are deep in open enrollment now, you know, coming up to December is a good time to really sharpen your, you know, your career saw and really sharpen your skill sets. And if you want to take a look at our certification program and even enroll and be able to take it online while you're maybe at home over the holidays, you know, we urge you to check out our Certified in Healthcare Consumerism program and the other benefits of the IHC University. You can find the IHC University and our certification program at thehcc.com on our front homepage, and then just access, you know, and you can enter and learn all about the IHC University. But again, it's a good time. Our certification program has been very well received, and you can take it online. You can take it at your leisure. The test is a, you know, pass-fail, and you can take it as many times as you want until you you pass it. So, you know, again, you can see some of the testimonials out there for whether it's an employer, a broker, a consultant, or a solution provider that's taking this. They've really had good things to say about, you know, this certification program. So, again, we urge you to check out certification program at thehcc.com and the other benefits of having an annual membership tuition to IHC University. You know, follow what we're doing around our events for 2017. Come to our website and see what we're doing as we evolve our 2017 events, specifically our anchor event in Atlanta, which will be around the third week of Atlanta. We're finalizing that right now. To be really the anchor Healthcare Consumerism Forum event. And again, you can follow that activity either from the IHC website that I mentioned previously or directly from our forum site, thehcforum.com. So, you know, we appreciate your time today with us today. I'd like to welcome our first guest onto the program. Linda Hauer, who is the CEO of 121 Benefits out of Minneapolis. Linda, good morning.
Good morning.
How is Minneapolis, Minnesota on this fall morning?
It's looking great. It's going to be, I think, in the low 70s, so we will take advantage of that today. We don't.
Yeah,
that's a rarity in late October.
Yeah, a little Indian summer up there. Linda,
exactly.
You're doing some interesting things, the 1-2 benefits. I mean, give us a little bit of background and then, you know, why you stepped up and really, you know, formed 1-2-1 benefits out of the acquisition of E.D. Bailey Employee Benefit Services.
Well, it's been an exciting year. The company 1-2-1 Benefits began January 1st of 2016. I'd Bailey wanted to exit the business. It wasn't closely tied to their core competency, and I had been managing the business for over 20 years, so it was a natural for me. And one of the main reasons why I decided to do the acquisition was that I saw increased need for the type of service model that we had, which was a high touch, or therefore our name, 1-2-1 service model, was becoming more of a rarity, and it had been our standard focus for many years. And that was really one of the biggest reasons why I decided to go ahead and acquire the business. We have found that employers and employees both, with the increased complexities that are happening in healthcare, that they're really looking for more of a high touch, more hand-holding, more customization, just more help in this ever-changing world we're in healthcare.
Yeah, it's pretty confusing right now, is it not?
So
tell me the type of services that you provide right now, and also talk about, if you know, if they're listening right now, you know, particularly prospective clients, I mean, what type of client are you serving right now, or are you best oriented to work with?
Sure. Well, we provide kind of what I would think it to be somewhat standard TPA services, which include flexible spending, health savings accounts, health reimbursement accounts, COBRA, retiree billing. Those are more what I would call a traditional TPA service. Some of the more innovative areas we've gotten into has been Affordable Care Act reporting. We started that this year, of course, with the new requirements, and we'll be continuing to provide those services. That's somewhat unique. And then also a newer service is wellness reimbursement accounts, and that's kind of a very innovative area as well. We can work with clients of any size, but because we have some rather large clients that have over 10,000 employees, I would say our particular strength is in more the larger 500-plus employee range that have really are complex. You know, they have a lot of maybe divisions, a lot of things going on, a lot of customization that they need, and they just want that support. That's probably the best description I can give you as a typical client for us. It's a little bit larger, and they want that complex help.
All right. I mean, that's good, Linda. You know, since you're in Minneapolis and you're about high touch, are you primarily focused on upper Midwest clients?
That has been our typical footprint just because of logistics.
Right.
However, we get business from all over the country from our webpage and just word of mouth. But we're definitely looking to expand, continue to expand outside the Midwest market. We're not bound by that at all.
Have you worked with brokers to help, you know, nurture new business and client relationships, or how do you expand your business?
Yes, we definitely work with brokers. They have a tremendous depth of client base throughout the country, and we work with all the nationals and many even local brokers. However, because we work with a lot of governmental entities, a lot of those larger governmental entities may not use a broker, or they just tend to be a little bit more, it can be sometimes more independent. And because it's a woman-owned business, they have expressed real interest in that because they are focusing on that type of initiative. So we do get a certain amount of business just direct.
So with you know, kind of the what I call the reset of wellness and out in employers and employers looking to do a better job with wellness, et cetera, and when it comes to reimbursement, looking to reimburse. Talk a little bit about what you're doing with this wellness reimbursement account service that you now have.
Well, it's really interesting because we are a very entrepreneurial company. When we hear about needs that clients have, we want to try and see if we can fulfill those needs. So fairly recently, we've had requests from our larger employers that have said that they have a lot of millennials and that are really interested in wellness in terms of things like gym memberships and exercise equipment. So it isn't the typical health reimbursement arrangement, which we certainly can accommodate. But this is; these are typically taxable benefits, but the millennial population is really valuing that. And
right.
Leadership is focusing on retention and recruitment. And so it's a very, very hot area, and we have developed rather quickly a really nice service platform for that.
No, I think that makes a ton of sense with where wellness is moving today, and particularly to address the very unique needs of millennials. I mean, that's a very growing large part of our workforce, and they do look at things differently than the majority of us that are not millennials do. And they're going to stay with organizations that listen to them and give them that, you know, flexibility, right?
Well, my thought is millennials wouldn't necessarily – they would have a gym membership probably right out of college. So they're spending money there, and it's important to them, and it's very attractive from a recruitment standpoint if employer can be provide that benefit. So, and we can be very flexible. The client can have, say, only gym memberships, or they could have a whole list of items that they want to reimburse for, a kayak or bicycles, or so it's a very flexible benefit that they can provide.
Are you unique in providing this service, or are others out there doing the same thing?
Well, from, again, at least a rather limited study in terms of the marketplace we're in the Twin Cities and also just our client base, it appears that those that are providing this service may be doing it a little bit more on a limited basis, like the health plan might give you points or reimbursements against your,
right.
If you go to the health club so many times a month, you're probably familiar with that type of approach. But when you start to get beyond that, I think it becomes rather unique. And either the employer, what I've seen is the employers have been doing this in-house if they've been offering the benefit. And just like everything else, they're becoming more and more stretched for their resources. And we can provide it in a cost-effective fashion. So I think it is relatively unique, yes.
So this could be, for you, is it a standalone service that new customers might embrace first, that because you provide this unique service, you know, in the market?
I think so. I think it's absolutely something very unique. Kind of like ACA reporting, frankly, is also unique, but the wellness arrangement is really closely aligned to our TPA practice. In other words, we're working with these employees throughout the year, administering these accounts for them. So it is it's very closely aligned to the flexible spending, HSA, all those ongoing administrative account-based businesses. And so it's very closely aligned, and it's a great introduction to a client to us because we're demonstrating uniquenesses, being innovative, helping them communicate. I mean, that's another thing that we do that's unique is we custom design communication materials that are very, you know, just really target what they're trying to communicate. So, yes, I think it would be a great introduction for a client to our service, absolutely.
That's great. Well, talk to us about what you just alluded to, too. I mean, how do you help clients manage the many, many challenges that they have to address with ACA compliance?
Well, the reimbursement accounts, whether it's HSAs, FSAs, or HRAs, are under that umbrella of the healthcare rules and the ACA. And so when there are changes that occur, there was a recent change that affected HRAs. And what we then did, besides understanding what the rules were, we have an ERISA attorney on retainer who specializes specifically in these reimbursement accounts and is well known throughout the country. They help us not only understand what the changes were, but how do you administratively implement this? The change with HRAs is that spouses and dependents have to be enrolled either in the client's group health plan or a group health plan. Well, that's a whole nother requirement that employers with HRAs haven't had to face before. And so we work with them on how do you best communicate this? How can we help administer this? Our system can offer some self-service tools to allow them to add spouses and dependents. And because this is a population that they haven't really had to reach out to, and especially if they're covered under another group health plan. So it's really taking that technical topic, paring it down to really an understandable administrative process and how it can work for the client, and then communicate and implement it. That's a consistent thing that we've done. And again, there's numerous examples. ACA reporting is another one. Clients are overwhelmed, especially for their continuance. So let's say their payroll company might be able to handle their active employees, but they have this whole group of either COBRA or retirees that they need to report on. We can work with those types of kind of one-off scenarios or the entire employee base to do this reporting. And the reporting is at much tighter time frame for reporting on 16 than there was for 15. The deadlines have been, they're back to what they were initially and before they were extended this year. So it's going to be crunch time for employers with ACA reporting this year.
Yeah, very, very big challenges, and you're here to help as you're talking about. So from your seat, what do you see as some of the emerging trends in employee benefits for 2017?
Well, I definitely continue to see the growth in high deductible health plans and either combination of HSAs or HRAs. Being in Minnesota, which is kind of where some of these concepts are sort of born, we've seen it for a long time, and I've spoken throughout the country, and I know there's different pockets that have embraced them and others that haven't embraced them, and I really personally believe strongly in the high deductible philosophy with the HSA or HRA component. So I see that continuing to grow. And I really think these wellness concepts are going to continue to grow, because ultimately if you can have your employees become healthier and it's going to continue to be a tight job market, and you can provide some unique benefits that other employers aren't providing, ultimately you're going to win as an employer. And also, making communication easy to understand, that is another huge trend that we are focusing on tremendously, using pictures and very few words with infographics. That's another huge, huge trend that absolutely embracing.
Yeah, and one of the big challenges there, wouldn't you say, Linda, is that, you know, your employee population, your client's population, has different ways that they want to receive communications or the type of communications, correct?
Absolutely.
How about exchanges? What do you see with your client base around their adoption of private exchanges or their considerations of moving their employee population into these different various private exchange models?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because with our predecessor firm, we were very innovative in working with employers who were considering either not having a group health plan or moving away, either didn't have one or moving away. So we worked with clients and continue continue to work this year with defined contribution plans for those that didn't have a group health plan. It'll be really interesting now that the rates continue to go up in the individual market. I don't know that that's going to be quite as strong, the individual market, but that's probably a state-by-state issue. It can be a nice option for smaller employers to do that. With the larger employers, I think the private exchanges have had modest growth. I think that they're somewhat complex, and I think employers perhaps might be concerned with the complexity. For example, the COBRA requirements, you know, the impact of administering COBRA when you have a multitude of plan options, I think is something to consider. But I do think it's a really nice option to offer more choice. And that's what the private exchanges are doing. They're offering more choice, and people like choices. So it's a very interesting time in healthcare.
People expected it to explode. I think that the commonality is that it takes time in this space for those to really understand where a private exchange can fit into their organization to help that employer, whether public or private, to lower the cost, you know, reduce administrative services and offer that better choice. It just takes time for them to really get their head around, you know, how it's going to work, correct?
Yes, absolutely. These are new concepts, and we like to think it's a fast-moving industry, but in many ways it's not, and people are a bit conservative and move rather slowly because these are big topics that impact all their employees. It's not something you're going to do on a whim.
Exactly. Linda, we got about 1 to 2 minutes to go for you to close. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect from One Benefits in the coming year, and leave us with any other final takeaway points, if you would, please.
Well, thank you. We absolutely are planning on and are experiencing continued growth in our business, and it's really because we are unique. We offer that high-touch service model in an era of kind of low-touch self-service, and so we're expecting and have already had growth in our space. We're going to continue to focus on some of these emerging trends, the wellness reimbursement accounts, and assisting employers with the complexities that impact them regarding the ACA and how that impacts these reimbursement accounts. Finding innovative ways to effectively communicate to employees these complex topics with the millennial workforce, which is using infographics, videos, different innovative ways, certainly the web, to make these topics simple and easy to understand as best we can.
That's great, Linda. We thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time. You know, you have a great weekend up there, and our market, people can find out about you by going to www.121benefits.com, correct?
Absolutely. I really appreciate the time today. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you, Linda. Take care. Doing some good stuff. I mean, we continue to see all kinds of innovations. New service provider coming in, a lot of energy around, you know, embracing high deductible, helping clients with compliance, et cetera. Right, Jonathan? So, again, I want to thank Linda for joining us, and you know, you'll be able to access this podcast on a later program. I want to welcome on our next guest and appreciate he taking the time out of his busy schedule, but Bill Haber, Senior Director of Business Development with PocketDoc. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. Good to be here with you.
Yeah, good to have you on the program with us today. Before we kind of jump into this, Give our audience a little bit of background on yourself and on what PocketDoc is doing.
Sure. Well, I'm working as a business development director at PocketDoc, and I bring a software background more than anything else to the company. The company is really an innovative software company that's built, I think, not only an amazing team of visionaries and technologists, but in turn, great technology that helps people innovate using some key building blocks that makes healthcare more consumer-friendly. So we've essentially created a cloud-based platform that powers applications focused on healthcare, whether they're big companies or small development shops. And today we have clients that span, you know, large hospital systems, insurance companies and their administrators and brokers, technology companies who are coming out with new apps and ways of exchanging information, even systems integrators and business process outsources, and along the same lines, garage developers who are working on the next latest great idea. They can all integrate Pocket Docs APIs into new or even existing systems they may have and streamline healthcare transactions that allow true interoperability.
So why are you so passionate about healthcare consumerism? Not because you're on healthcare consumerism radio, but why are you so passionate about healthcare consumerism?
Well, that's actually a funny and probably a very relevant story that starts with our CEO, Lisa Mackey, who is a very active woman, a business leader, snowboarder, karate practitioner, et cetera. She had a sports injury and was holed up at a healthcare provider, and her doctor told her she required a procedure that amounted to essentially fusing her spine. And in search for a second opinion or better option, she struggled to find anything as a consumer using the hospital's tools and all the search capabilities she could access until, you know, ironically, a Facebook connection pointed her to a new program to treat these injuries in a more effective way. And the program was in the same healthcare facility that she was staying in. And she realized as a result that the simple challenges for people to shop, book, and pay for healthcare in the same consumer-friendly way that we shop for goods on Amazon or music on iTunes just didn't exist, and picked up the phone and spoke to Ted Tanner, who's our co-founder and CTO and has the background to bring this type of tech to market. And we've been driving better consumer outcomes ever since. And that's really what we're trying to do with the platform and with our various customers to bring better ways to engage consumers and make the process of shopping and managing your wellness a much more easy experience.
Yeah, take me a little deeper into, if you would, for our audience, you know, what is an API and how this technology can, again, really help the business of health?
Sure. So, Doug, in healthcare, a big problem is disparate data. And bringing data sets together to make them easy to share. It's very challenging, whether you're talking about data that's stored in EMR or EHR systems or data that's locked into insurance companies or a number of different locations. In the software world, most industries commonly exchange data sets in application programming interfaces, or APIs as we call them. And they allow data to be exchanged quickly and easily on a regular basis. Think of them like bridges that transport you between different locations that are otherwise hard to get to. And Pocket Doc has a place in the cloud with these bridges to nearly every kind of data that you might need or that any developer might need to get consumer-friendly. And we make it very easy for today's developers to come to our site and get started and bring together these APIs in a 21st century data type of way.
Yeah, that's great. And again, you kind of alluded to a lot of different people that you can help, but talk a little more specifically about, you know, who are your primary customers, how you help them, and, you know, and how you help them.
Sure. So, you know, we are primarily helping executives in health tech, whether they're, you know, large health systems or data companies, realize their goals, which are all to get more consumer-friendly and in this new paradigm of health get stickier with their clients and potential clients. So we're powering insurance carriers, or we call them trading partners, and helping them streamline their technology and share data better and broader using more modern methods. We actually convert the kind of 1970s data format into a modern 21st century type of data service language that all the young developers out there work with every day. We're giving technology companies in health tools that help them expose data and give it to consumers so they can locate otherwise difficult to find information at their fingertips. We're helping companies like employers and benefits professionals to kind of get rid of paperwork and complex decision making when they shop plans and have that easy to use type of experience when they choose between one plan and another. And even some of the innovators who are building apps and portals and startups, anyone who really wants to bring a better experience to health consumers should check out PocketDoc.
How about private exchanges? You know, while they this year maybe took a little bit of step back, you know, I think they're going to move forward and going to have a place in this space. So what about private exchanges directly working with some of these unique private exchange platforms that are evolving?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we actually have some customers in that space doing things like automating parts of the enrollment process or comparing costs when people are shopping plans. So maybe you think two or three different plans that they've outlined might be good options for you, and maybe you want to look at a drug that you are prescribed and want to understand the costs annually on that plan between one and another to help you make your decision. That data can very easily be exposed using PocketDoc APIs. And so as consumers want more choice, and your earlier guest was alluding to this, that essentially being able to present them with more data at the critical moments of choice to better make a decision is instrumental, and PocketDoc APIs are helping folks do that.
So that, is that how you talk about, you know, I mean, there are barriers to enter that allow consumers to have this healthcare experience. Is that, you know, talk a little bit more about that. I think you're kind of, you know, discussing it right now. Is that how you do that, you know, to help, you know, consumers, you know, have this better healthcare experience?
Well, we've brought a lot of this data together in one place, and using simple APIs, it's very easy to bring them into their platforms. I think there's a lot of new capabilities today that health executives didn't have at their disposal till recently, and they're trying to consume a lot of information and make decisions. It's no secret that healthcare information technology is in dire need of an overhaul. And payers, providers, and entrepreneurs are moving at different speeds to bring those solutions forward. We work with them every day. Consumers have definitely been waiting to have the same relationships with their wellness network that they have with their banks and businesses. And so we work with these players to help them and help stimulate innovation and provide the building blocks that accelerate it. I think that consumers need to evaluate their choices based on who offers the easiest and most cost-effective approach and should expect great things in 2017 and beyond. I think there's a lot of players bringing more and more of these capabilities to market.
So talk about, so when you look ahead to 2017 and beyond, you know, what do you see PocketDoc's focus to continue to be and evolve to be going forward?
Well, we continue to drive the wide use of our platform and the transactions that flow across it in a lot of different business types. We're broadening transactions and bringing additional services with those transaction capabilities. So you'll see more of that from us. But we're also bringing new capabilities to market every day. We've recently shared some new APIs in the pharmacy data space that help consumers shop medications with better visibility of plans, like I mentioned, covered drugs, the costs, and even we're working on location data to, for example, find best pharmacies in your network. You can also see, if you look at our website or any of the public-facing materials we put out there, innovation in blockchain technology and its impact on healthcare. And that's something we're delivering through our DocChain product set, which you'll hear more about in 2017. There's really no shortage of innovation coming from us, and I think you'll see broader applications and healthcare technology coming to market powered by PocketDoc.
That's great. So in your go-to-market, Bill, are you you utilize distribution partners out there that have relationships to, you know, establish connectivity, whether it's with a health system or private exchanges or a large employer? I mean, what's your go-to-market, you know, distribution strategy?
Yeah, well, we work directly with a number of these players, but we also have invested some time with business partners who are like business process outsourcers that build a lot of the consumer-facing web apps that are used by health systems and providers of all sorts. And they have the armies of the consultants that can deploy projects quickly and are in existing projects to be able to leverage our technology very quickly in initiatives that have been scoped and planned across these. So that is definitely a large part of our go-to-market strategy today and going forward, and I think you'll see a lot of PocketDoc-powered technology delivered by those types of companies.
And what is your, and there may not be a typical business model, because it sounds like you look for how do you help people, you know, address their pain point, their challenge, their opportunity to become more consumer-friendly and improving that consumer experience. So what is your business model for the typical client? The licensing model or what?
Yeah, we typically license our API access, and we do it through different fee structures, depending upon what type of data they're looking for. We find that a lot of people invest in support to be able to better work with a company like PocketDoc and the professionals we have here to understand how can I bring this to market quickly and how can you help me do it. So not only do we provide access to the data sources, but a team of people that help the various customers that come to us. And we also support some of those third parties that build those applications on behalf of larger companies. So I think there's a number of different ways we try and do that, and the challenge is just scaling all of the requirements to support an ever-growing customer base.
Yeah, well, I think you've done a great job, Bill, on the program today. I mean, I have learned a lot more about PocketDoc, and I felt I knew a lot about you guys, so I've learned a lot more about what you're trying to do, and I commend you on what you're trying to do to really help at the right time everyone become more consumer-friendly and better consumer-facing. So nice job and, you know, continued good success to you. Leave our audience, if you would, some final thoughts and takeaways and let a listener know how they can get in touch with you should they want to.
Sure, absolutely. So I would encourage anybody interested in investigating the ease or speed at which you can bring some of these capabilities to market to have a look at the PocketDoc website, which is spelled P-O-K-I-T-D-O-K. .com, as well as some of the articles that we routinely put out there in our blog and discuss how different types of clients that work with us are dealing with these problems and what they're rolling out. You can really get some good ideas and get a good understanding of what you can do with data that's available today. The data that we offer certainly unifies a lot of capabilities in one place and allows people to create a workflow that can easily accomplish a number of goals. And certainly I encourage people with greater interest to reach out to our business development team. We have people across the country that are happy to work with you.
Bill, thank you so much for joining us today. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, great. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
And to our audience out there, we really appreciate you sharing your time with us today. You have a great weekend. Have a safe and happy Halloween on Sunday or on Monday, and we'll see you next Friday on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.